Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 175, part 1, We That Know the Lord. Today is the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, November 26, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA, and I'm sitting in the rabbi's office right now at Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Right now, I can hear some bags rustling. We are filling them with food. If you need food and you live in North Minneapolis, you live in South Minneapolis, you live in East Minneapolis, West Minneapolis, you live in the state of Minnesota, come to Pastor Paul's and register your household for monthly groceries. If you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, maybe you're a veteran, come call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. and get your household registered for groceries. We have got a lot of food and we have a lot to give away, so don't be shy. Give us a call. And for those of you who are not in Minnesota and you're listening to this podcast, be sure to join our online community. A lot will be happening there in the future, but for right now, just go to the top of the homepage. You're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, and YouTube. And don't forget Twitter. Sounds little, but it's big. Twitter. Follow the Twitter Rumble, generally on Thursday, where I do live tweets when I'm actually recording Pastor Paul's messages. So don't forget Twitter Rumble on. Why do we call it the Twitter Rumble on Thursday? Why? Because we're in the middle of a rumble. Can you hear that phone ringing? All right, we're already getting calls for Pastor Paul's. People want to register, but call back at 1 o'clock. You can also go to Pastor Paul's blog. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, give a testimony. If you want to do all that at the blog, go ahead. We'll be interested in reading it. You can also email me, but I wouldn't. I've got way too many emails. Better yet, just call me on the phone, 612-521-4665. I'd love to hear your voice. Okay, don't send me an email. Call me on the phone. Or start a podcast. It's fun. All right. Hey, I am psyched. I'm in the rabbi's office. How can't you be excited about that? Speaking of the rabbi, also scripture links within Pastor Paul's messages. Be sure to check those out. Now, this is the November introduction. I almost forgot. This is the November introduction. Let me get my tapes. Hang on a minute. I'm in the rabbi's office at the rabbi's desk. I'm taking over, people. Okay, here we go. Hang on. I have to take the rubber band off of all these tapes I have for the month of November. Okay, and you know, if you come to the podcast, you know, you can just actually go through this message. You don't have to listen to the whole thing. Okay, but here it is. Who is willing to go? That's next week's message. Learning to be content. Oh, learning to be content. I've been going to so many things, talking and listening about content. I get the two mixed up sometimes. Be content or be content. Well, I guess that's what we are right now. We're being content. Okay. We that know the Lord. I wonder if there's some we that know the Lord. Okay, well, that's the next one. Whatever happened to the will of God for now? Okay, I'm kind of thinking on all of these. Let me go back again. You know, I am kind of a slow reader, but I'm trying to I'm trying to kind of take this in. Okay, let me try it again. Now, keep in mind, this is not a radio broadcast. It's a podcast. Okay, so I don't have to do a perfect job. All right, here we go. This is the November announcement. I'm your hostess for the mostest. I already said that. Okay. Who is willing to go? That's a good one. I know that's going to be good. Who is willing to go? I am. Okay, I know you're holding up your hands right now. The next one, learning to be content. That I know is going to be a good one because that is hard for all of us, especially me. Learning to be content, not content. We that know the Lord. Now that one, we that know the Lord. I get it. We that know the Lord. Okay. Whatever happened to the will of God for now? Okay. Those are them. Those are November's podcasts coming up. And be sure to listen both on Friday night and on Sunday. We're kind of doing the same thing that we did with Pastor Paul in church. You know, every Friday night we came in and listened to a message that was always so cool because it was at night. And we came in and listened. There usually weren't hardly any people here, very few people, the die-hard people that wanted to hear the message. Okay, so you've got to hear that. That is part one. Part two is on Sunday. A lot more people come on Sunday. You know, everybody kind of goes to Sunday school, the church thing. But I want you, my die-hard podcast listeners, I want you to listen to part one on Friday and part two on Sunday. Promise me. Scout's honor. God bless you. Have a great month of November. Have an excellent Thanksgiving. And if you need food, give us a call. Bye.
And tonight's message is entitled, We That Know the Lord. People, it seems, are very concerned about knowing. You ever notice that, how they want to know about this, they want to know about that, knowing other people's business, knowing what's going to happen? Well, I wonder what's going to happen. How will we ever know? And a lot of times it's for their own selfish reasons. They just have to know. And when people come to me and they just have to know, preacher, are you hearing this? Oh, listen. When people have to know, that's when I clam up. I don't give them nothing. That's what you got to do. When people want to know, clam up. We that know the Lord, then they say it's who you know that will get you places. Well, in other words, when you stop being useful, they cease to know you that is useful to them. Now hear this, and if you don't believe that, go on up and check out some of these nursing homes. Those people in there are no longer useful to someone, a group of people, or one person, or whatever is left in their life, and they cease to know them. Or then they say like this, did you know this or that? And you know, it's the nature of man to want to be a news bearer, a bearer of news. They want to let others know what they know, or what they think they know. And it's a funny thing, but during the dry times, they must even invent things. Oh, God, I hope this message hits you people on the radio right between the eyeballs. Or they say, if I would have known this or that before this happened or that happened, I would have acted very differently. Well, you shouldn't act it at all. That's the problem. We know a little bit about a lot of things, and many know a little bit about a lot of things, including the Lord. You remember that song? Oh, I know a little bit about a lot of things, but I don't know enough about the Lord. How many hearing is? Which introduces us to Jeremiah 31 and 34, and listen to it. Oh, it's for now. And they shall teach no more. Every man his neighbor, they shall teach no more. Let's hear that part. Every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. They aren't going to say that. For they shall know me, from the least of them unto the very greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity. That means I will forgive their sin. And I will remember their sin no more. Now, I think in this age we have many self-appointed teachers and prophets. Are you hearing this? Who, after God has spoken, they say, they come ahead and they tell you, well, now, God speaks to me something to my heart, and then someone comes and says, but God told me to tell you not to do that. Now, in the Old Testament, in Kings, there was a prophet. God told him to go a certain way. And then God put a word in another prophet's mouth, and then the other prophet come over and said, but God told me to tell you not to go that way. And so the man listened to the man, the prophet, listened to the prophet that came the second hand. And it caused him his death because he didn't obey God. God first told him. How many are hearing this? Now, I mean, you know, if you want to give quiver lift messages and you want to hear prophecy and you want to lay trips on people, they're all the way through the Bible, and mainly it says, mind your own business. Well, it says like this, in the measure that you mete it out, so shall it be met out to you. That means mind your own business, in the paraphrase. That means I don't care, God says, what you know. And the Bible says, be careful when you think you know something, know nothing at all. I mean to know, I mean to have the true knowledge of God is a total blessing. That's really knowing. I mean, it's a covenant blessing, the Bible says. To know Jehovah as the only true and the only loving and the only living God. To know Him personally, to know Him intimately, and to say like David, thou art my God. This is the greatest of all the benefits. A grace plus, let's call it, for God's chosen. When someone asks, do you know of anyone who can help me? We can say, yes, I know Jesus. Would you like to meet Him? But anyway, what a prophecy. He will restore and save all the wandering seed of Abraham. But look at this scripture in the light of being instructive. Listen to what the Spirit says to the heart. Now, a lot of times, you can take a piece of scripture out of this Bible. Now, the Lord says, the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. Now, you can pick out some kind of a word in here, and you can give it to somebody and kill them. Now, did you hear what I said? It says, the letter killeth. It means a printed word will kill, but the Spirit gives life. Now, how many hearing this? And so, sometimes we have to be careful about what we think we know. Are you hearing this? Listen to what then, again, let me get back to it, what the Spirit says to the heart. And it says, after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into the inward parts. I will write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Now, this is a work of God. Then why is God taking this all over? Because man has botched it. Now, here God has this great grace message. He says, I'll put it in their heart. They don't have to do anything. I'll put my law into their inward parts, and I'll write it in their heart. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to force feed anybody. And he's saying, you don't have to argue whether a person's saved by the law or by grace, or by, you know, you're just botching it, so I'll do the job. You're so busy arguing and so busy being so full of wisdom that I'll let me do it. Now I'll do it. Because grace begins then where the Holy Spirit brings the outward law into contact with the inner man, and it's got to be a work of grace, and it's got to be a work of the Holy Ghost. Because the law outside of a man is forgotten. A lot of times you'll hear people say, amen, I agree. It's like a guy got caught for the drunken driving and says, judge, I promise I quit drinking. I'll never drink again. Judge, please just let me go just this one more time. And he left the courthouse. He says, man, I need a belt. That judge was really a hard man. Let's go have a couple. Why? Because it was spoken, it was the law was on the outside looking into a rebellious, lying, cheating old heart. The problem is you can't teach an old heart new tricks. It must die. And then the person needs a new one for God to write his laws on. You see, the heaviest, the most sharpest chisel won't dent, not even dent the old heart of stone. Forget it. But then when the Holy Spirit, listen to it, begins to put the law into the inward parts that have been regenerated, you know what the result is? The result is the discovery of our shortcomings. Well, I think one of the shortcomings is finding the shortcomings in others and not the shortcomings in ourselves. And I think the work of the Holy Ghost, if you'll let him work, he'll find the shortcomings in all of us. But he'll never point out someone else's. He'll point out yours. Well, I've always been a nice person. I've brought up my children to be as godly, and I've always been nice and kind and affectionate, and I've always gone to church, and I've always done this and that, and so on. Search your heart. Say amen, somebody. You want to know how you know you're saved is when God convicts you. It's when you do things and you obey God against every opinion of every nerd that ever lived, then you know that you're walking with God. Say amen, somebody. My Lord, there's so many nerds in Christianity, I don't believe it. There's such a hellish women lib movement, I don't believe it. Say amen, somebody. Thus saith the Lord. But the result is the discovery of our own shortcomings, our own wrong motives. And oh, so many times you have wrong motives. What's a wrong motive? Well, it's a motive outside of yourself coming on to somebody else for your own benefit. Wrong desires and just plain old nastiness. Oh, God, I'm enjoying this. Plain old nasty. You begin to see you. Oh, that's a horrible picture. And maybe you're listening on the radio, this tape, maybe you'll have to be used as an instrument, of God, and people will just have to lay it on you and give it to you and persecute you and do all manner of evil against you for his name's sake so they can see their nasty old self. Say amen. You understand your own unholiness. You set your whole conduct and ways and thoughts in contrast with divine righteousness, and you are overwhelmed when you put yourself up against God. You are shocked. You are stricken in your spirit. You are sickened with shame and sorrow and dismay. Have you ever had anybody shame you? Say amen, somebody. Well, I'll tell you what. When you put yourself next to God, you're going to be shamed in the inner man. Now, listen, I'm not talking to you moralists. This is the work of the Holy Ghost. Now, right away, the moralist picks up. Oh, amen, amen, give it to him. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about a work of the Holy Ghost. Don't you understand it? They're not changed by your threatening and by your thunder. And they're changed by prayer and fasting. It's not a work of rules and regulations, no. It's not a work of the laws from the outside and from without. But this man now knows he deserves to die. I remember when I first knew I deserved to die. I had been 3 weeks saved. And I knew because of the conviction of the Holy Ghost that I should die right where I'm at. But see, the love of God wouldn't have that. But I thought, oh man, I never realized I was so gross. Have you come to that yet? Oh, you haven't? Oh, you will then. If you're not too busy with someone else's grossness, you'll see your own. Yes, you will. Yes, radio audience, tape ministry. Yes, 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 you will. You see, because the law work is grace work in the darker, in the deeper, in the fuller dress, completed within with diagrammed instructions. Now, I got my instructions. They are diagrammed in my heart. Say amen, somebody. You preachers and you people out there that are doing a work for God, they're diagrammed right in your heart, and you must do them. Well, can I find some excuse nots? Oh, you can find dozens of them. And people will help you find them, too. But that still is no excuse. The diagram is there. The work has been planned before the foundation of the world was even founded, and there is no excuse for not going on. God knows a lot of times I've wished for a way out. You listening on the radio and you preachers, you are in for it. But they're on the inside, these diagrams, and they're in full color. They're programmed by the Holy Ghost. And then someone tries to come and reprogram you. Maybe some damnable, what do you call it? Women's liver movement or whatever. And I'm glad I'm saying it because it's a hellish movement. Say amen, somebody. And it's destroying more than it's doing. And they try to reprogram and rediagram God's man for the work that was called to do. Can it happen? No. He's programmed. The only thing you can do is shoot him in the head. That's the only thing that'll stop him. And if the gun don't backfire. Say amen. Because, you see, the law work is the axe that does the rough work while grace goes on to the inner person. Now, what is the law? Now, listen, understand this. Before you were saved, you were under the law. Well, you were a drunk and you were under the law, and then they picked you up and threw you in jail, and you got out of there and you were miserable, and your folks says, you either behave or you're going to get this or that. Look what you've done to the family name, you no good little nerd. And they go on with that, and this happens and that happens, and all your life is just hell because you're under the law. And then you come to meet Jesus Christ, and what happens? You come under the grace. And some people, they get saved, and some legalist gets a hold of them, and they're still under the law, only now they got scripture to go with it, and they kill them. I may say, my God, I was better off before I got saved. This is real hell. Say amen. Do you understand that? Or maybe for some reason you listen on a radio, you can't receive from me. I'm giving you scripture. I'm giving you from my heart that which God has shown me. And you men of God right now, you are diagrammed. You have been made over and God has got a message on the inside. Let it come on out. Because the law within us convinces man of sin and righteousness of judgment, the Bible says. That's the one that does the work. Not a whole lot of words from the outside. That'll never change. You never try to make your kids mind by a whole lot of words. You wear yourself out. Don't you? Don't you think they're about the dumbest kids that ever were born? And then we have many come now quoting Old Testament letter instead of letting the Holy Spirit work by His grace. Say amen, somebody. I mean, the Holy Spirit transforms the heart. It takes, the Bible says, that stony and that phony out of it and makes it a fleshy, tender, sensitive thing. Oh, God, how we need to get that down pat. I'm saying that Christ Jesus then comes in and takes the center throne in the inner heart. And now the man starts to love the law. Well, the things I used to love, I hate. The things I used to hate, now I love them. And you know what happened? It becomes his will to do the will of God. Now, what is the will of God? Preacher, what is the will of God in your life? You know what it is. I know what it is. See, grace changes his nature. Now he's not so concerned about what everybody's got to say or what everybody thinks or so on like that. Grace is inside. They're working. You know, these old tendencies that went towards evil, now they're going towards good and they can't stop. And so God's love rules now. The tendencies are corrected now. And the law right now gets inside. The law of God is ruled by love and it takes over. Now, nowhere in the Ten Commandments are you getting. And they're obsolete, the Bible says. They passed away. They asked Jesus, what should we do? And he says, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbors, you love yourself. And that is the royal law of love. And nowhere in the Ten Commandments do you see the scripture that says, no greater love is the man than he would die for a friend. And so we're now under a new covenant, not made by human hands. No, it's by the Holy Ghost, placed in there by God, prophesied through Jeremiah the prophet. And so now the law is written on the inside, and we have a manifestation of God. Oh, yes, we do. God makes it himself, and man is made to know for himself. He's made to know by God's law on the inner man, and thus he is led to know the Lord. When you get to know the Lord like that, let me tell you something. You are attentive to His voice. And so tonight I will minister on knowledge of the Lord. First, the essential knowledge. And like this, they all shall know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. And secondly, the way of obtaining the essential knowledge. And here's how this knowledge is imparted by the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Plural. Isn't that a good message? Well, you should remember. What do you mean you'll not remember it? Well, come on. There's a few folks we want to. Come on, huh? No, no. Number one, the essential knowledge. It's a great truth like this. This life eternal to know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Wow. You see, to know God is to live in the light. And this knowledge brings with it the trust. Now, you have to trust God in all kinds of situations. And it brings with it the love and the peace and the tenderness. And it brings by the acceptance. Now, isn't it great to know that you're accepted in the Beloved? Huh? Isn't it great to know that you are accepted in the Beloved? Yes. We know how he speaks of Israel and Judah here. But also we know he's spiritually, he's speaking to us. Don't you know that? Oh, God, so beautiful. And yes, we know that we have teachers and preachers, but the final author and finisher is our Lord. He is going to have the last word. Now, I tonight was seeking the Lord, and I, along with all the words I've received from quite a few people, of course, I seek the Lord, and he gives me a word, and I never give it back to him. You know why? Because it's for me. But tonight it was such a beautiful word for Pastor Paul, special. And it's all of Psalm 35. All of it. This is so beautiful, I brought tears to my eyes. I wonder what it says. Well, why don't you just read it when you get home? Why don't you just read it, you listening on the radio? Why don't you just pick up your Bible when I get done ministering and read it? And you out there that are continually, constantly, and always are laying trips on people, and always thus saith the Lording people, pick up the Bible and read Psalm 35. And I'll give you a few more scriptures that the Lord has given me about the end times, and a few more visions and a few more things that just might make you turn a little pale and a little pallor, might turn a little white. They might even cause your bunions to drop off your feet. Say amen, somebody. Yeah, you know, I don't know how long I have left. I'm getting older. I'm getting on. But I do know the Lord. Well, if you were to ask me, do you know President Reagan? I'd have to answer no. I know something about him. I have an idea of his personal character, so I know something about him. And yet, I have never met him. I have never seen him in person. I have never spoken to him. Did you ever notice when you see somebody in person, they always look a little different? I'd noticed that about radio audiences. They come walking up to me, and they look kind of funny. They're looking at me and looking me up and down. I says, I know where you're at. You're from the radio audience. And I say, you know what? You don't look nothing like I thought you would either. Well, I've never written to the president. I've never called him. And so, you see, I really do not know him. Now, let me ask of you listening on the radio or tape or watching TV, do you know God? How would you answer? Would you say, I've read scriptures and so I know the attributes of God? Or would you say, and I know what God has promised? So many people know the promises of God, but they don't want to do anything. They just continually claim promises. How would you like to have a kid that disclaimed promises? You promised! Well, you'd spank him and put him to bed. Wouldn't you? But you promised! How would you? And you told him, I promised, but I told you it would be in my time. Well, yeah, but I know the promises of God and I know what he'll do, do you? Do you always 100% know what God's going to do? Don't try to put God in a box. You don't always know what God's going to do. There's so many people who know exactly what God is going to do. Well, then you see them down there, and they're one of these claimers, and they never have a cold, and they never have an owie, and they never have nothing wrong with them. And if you see them with a cold or an owie or something, they say, oh, that's nothing, that's just a symptom. Interesting. Everything they get is a symptom. They'll lock themselves up in the house because they don't want to, what do they think? I got a cold. I'm talking to my dogs. What do they think? Me, the great faith person. No, they won't think nothing. They'll just think you got a cold. That's all. But I know how to claim. And I've read many books on faith. I tithe. You remember that person that was saying that? I'm glad I give one-tenth of everything, and I'm glad that I'm not like this over here. This, huh? The publican and the sinner. Do you remember that? I get many words from others. I got a word the other day from so-and-so, and I got another word, and then I had a word over here, and a word, everywhere, word. And I quote heavy scriptures over people. I fast, I pray. But still, listen, people, you cannot say that you know God. Okay, have you ever spoken to God? Did he ever speak to you? Well, believers can truly say like this, truly our fellowship is with the Father. Can you say that? Were you ever conscious of the presence of God? Has he ever manifested himself to you in any special way at all? Now, I'm sure many a very knowing man must honestly confess that he does not know the Lord in the very same sense contained in these questions. Even with professing Christians, this is true. Paul said, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
Well, Lord, we didn't do that. What didn't you do?
Huh? Think about all the things that you didn't think were sins that you did today. I mean, the knowledge here spoken of is to know the Lord himself, not to know that there is a God, not to know that there is only one God, not to know that we should reverence him, but to know him. Now, to know him is to obey him. You want to really know God? Then obey God. You remember that? Well, it was a worldly little game they used to play. Simple Simon Says. And then you go to the left, Simple Simon says. And then they go to the right, and then the person takes a step off, but Simple Simon didn't say. You know, it's the same way with the Lord, isn't it? Do this, do that, do this. And then the stranger's voice comes in and says, oh, yeah, go do that. But he doesn't say the Lord says. And so many people rush over. And, oh, we got caught. The Lord didn't say. Well, let's make it look like the Lord said it. Let's quote a scripture over that. But that is not knowing God, folks. That is shamming. Say amen, somebody. What is shamming? That's doing it your way. That's not knowing God. That's knowing your own plan. Don't we get into that? Well, let's make it look all right. Kids do that, don't they? You ever get in the cookie jar and you eat all the cookies and then you have to prop the cookies up and may fluff them up so it looks like you didn't eat any of them? Huh? And your mother shakes the jar and they all tumble down the bottom. There's only four left out of a dozen. You try to make it look all right. That's the way the cookie crumbles, son. Off to bed. Nothing to eat. But Paul says like this, I know him. Oh, listen to this. But some say, I should say it first. I know in whom I have believed. But listen to what Paul says. I know whom I have believed. Isn't that great? See, he knew the person he trusted. He was personally acquainted with Jesus Christ. And this is true godliness. So if